Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the last mile of a marathon, most runners pick up a little speed. They keep their eyes ahead, looking for the first signs of the finish line, while their ears drink in the nearly intoxicating cheers of the crowds that grow bigger as the finish line approaches. Finally, crossing the finish, nearly every runner is smiling. 26 2/10 miles earlier, and for most of the time in between, they wondered if this moment would ever come, the finish. But now that it is here, the pain, the suffering of the last 3, 4, 5 hours seem to vanish into ancient history. The markers all along the way have pointed to this moment, this place, signaling the end of the suffering, the end of the agony, the end of the long, lonely miles. As the numbers grow higher, hope grows sharper. In his Olivet sermon, just before today's gospel reading, Jesus told his apostles, "You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." The Christian life calls for exactly that, endurance. It is a marathon, more than a marathon, a grueling race that demands your endurance day by day. Jesus warned his disciples, those who followed him, those who were taught by him, that they would be hated for his name's sake. Those who bear his name today should expect similar fates. The world hates you because you are a Christian, even when that hatred is couched in friendlier terms. Later on in his Sermon on the Mount of Olives, as you heard in today's gospel reading, Jesus preached to the crowd, "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the waves and the sea, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world." Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When you see all of these things begin to take place, Jesus says, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The day of Christ's return is not a day for you to fear. It is the day for which the church longs and prays. When the buds begin to show on the trees, you know that winter is soon to be cast aside and spring will break forth. The buds grow and the twigs ripen and to green again. The dead of winter finally will yield to the new life of spring. Life is coming. Death will pass away. Straighten up and raise your heads. The mile markers are counting up. The finish line is ever nearer. And yet, Jesus has this strong warning in the text. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The prophet Malachi warns that the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble, that the wicked will be set ablaze. There are many for whom the day of the Lord's return is not good news at all. They have given in to the cares of this life. They prefer the comforts and pleasures of the world now to the comforts and pleasures the Lord has promised in the future, guaranteed in the future, for all who belong to Him. Those will find this day hopeless. Those who love their sins, who prefer their sins over their Savior, will find that day a terrible day. While those who long to be free from their sins will on that day finally have relief and full deliverance from the sins that still ensnare. What weighs the world down? What causes nations to be in perplexity with fear and foreboding, anxious over the tumult of the sea and the wave? What causes people to faint with fear and foreboding? What causes the talking heads to blather on? What gives others anxiety? What causes many people to stay awake at night? Need not concern you. It might be easy to let the cares of this life weigh you down, to press your head and your shoulders down low. It seems normal to want to escape into the cares of this life. Buy more stuff to keep you safe or make you happy. Pour another drink. Indulge your flesh. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But let the world self-medicate. Let the atheist's shoulders slump with anxiety. Let the head of the one outside the church, apart from the Lord, be downcast with worry. Not you, not here. The things which cause the world alarm, Jesus says, should cause you to raise your heads. When people faint with fear and foreboding, wring their hands with anxiety over what they read in the newspapers or see on the 24-hour news channels, should cause you to raise your heads. Stand up straight and hopeful. Lift up your eyes and look just over the horizon. Every sign that the world cannot, will not give you comfort or contentment is a sure sign that the return of Jesus, the finish line, is just out of view, maybe around the very next corner. Advent gives you hope for today, sure and certain hope. Raise your head, straighten up. The finish line is just ahead. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, that you may not grow weak or faint-hearted. Jesus endured the shame and the humiliation of crucifixion for you, beloved. The joy set before him, for which he endured the cross, is you. Eternal union with you is why he would endure the cross. There is your hope. Jesus endured for you. Before he will come at the finish line to welcome his church, he came to endure in her place the payment for her sins. You are not running to win the prize of salvation. You are running, slogging it away at this Christian life because that prize is already yours. In this life of struggle, never a day goes by when your hearts are not weighed down with the cares of this life. Your hearts are constantly divided. On the one hand, they rightly long for the day of Christ's return. On the other, they don't want the things of this broken world to end. What will preserve us from the cares of this life? What will preserve us until the end of this world and the beginning of the life to come? Jesus will, with his word. He endured the cross for you. And by his word and his spirit, he gives you endurance until the end. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Or St. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is your endurance. He gives you endurance in His Word and in His church, in the company of fellow Christians, fellow hearers of the Word. And your long suffering does not go unnoticed by your Lord. There is hope. The race is almost over. The end of this suffering, the day of His return, is drawing near. Lift up your heads. Straighten up as a runner nearing the finish line. The crowds of saints surround you to cheer you on. The whole company of heaven gathers at the Lord's altar around the body and blood of Him. Their great hymn of praise grows louder and louder each Advent as their numbers swell year by year, as the day of Christ's return grows nearer year by year. Their great hymn of praise grows louder. They endured. And Jesus, who was their endurance and your endurance, puts His immortal, raised from the dead, body and blood into your mortal flesh and blood at His supper. There, He gives you His own endurance. Lift up your heads. Straighten up. The day of your redemption is nearer now than ever before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.